السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والأتمان الأكمران على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we will continue immediately with the تفسير of سورة طه and let's see what's gonna happen. تفضل يا مصعب.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد مننا عليك مرة أخرى إذ أوحينا إلى أمك ما يوحى أن اقذفيه في التابوت فاقذفيه في اليم فليلقه اليم بالساحل يأخذه عدو لي وعدو له وألقيت عليك محبة مني ولتصنع على عيني إذ تمشي أختك فتقول هل أدلكم على من يكفله فرجعناك إلى أمك كي تقر عينها ولا تحزن وقتلت نفسا فنجيناك من الغم وفتناك فطونا فلبثت سنين في أهل مدين ثم جئت على قدري يا موسى واصطنعتك لنفسي.
جزاك الله خيرا. And we have already conferred favor upon you another time when we inspired to your mother what we inspired, saying, cast him into the chest and cast it as in the chest into the river. And the river will throw him onto the bank. There will take him an enemy to me and an enemy to him. And I bestowed upon you love from me that you would be brought up under my eye. And we have favored you when your sister went and said, shall I direct you to someone who will be responsible for him? So we restored you to your mother and to your mother that she might be content and not grieve. And you killed someone. But we saved you from the retaliation and tried you with a severe trial. And you remained some years among the people of Midian. Then you came here at the decree time, O Moses, and I produced you for myself. So let's see what the Sheikh Rahimahullah says. لما ذكر منته على عبده ورسوله موسى بن عمران في الدين والوحي والرسالة وإجابة سؤله. After Allah mentioned the favor he has conferred upon his slave and his messenger, Musa, the son of Imran, in terms of religion, revelation, and messengership, and responding to his request, and accepting his dua, basically, ذَكَرَ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَقْتَ التَّرْبِيَةِ وَالتَّنَقُّلَاتِ فِي أَطْوَارِهِ Allah then mentioned the favor he had already bestowed upon him during his upbringing and the transition he went through from in his life. The phases he went through in his life. فقال, Allah said, وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى أي حَيْثُ أَلْهَمْنَا أُمُّكَ أَنْ تَقْذِفَكَ فِي التَّابُوتِ وَقْتَ الرِّضَاعِ خَوْفًا مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ So when we inspired your mom, this bounty that we've bestowed upon you before is when we inspired your mom to cast you into the chest at the time of suckling due to fear of from Pharaoh. لأنه أمر بذبح أبناء بني إسرائيل because he had commanded to slaughter all the children of Bani Israel, all the male children of Bani Israel. Can you imagine what a tyrant he was? What an oppressive tyrant he was. Imagine that he commanded that a complete nation of people, all of their male babies will be slaughtered. How abhorrent it is to kill a child. Just the concept of killing an innocent child is abhorrent in and of itself. Then to do so on a large scale, affecting the masses, how many mothers were berated and devastated with the death of their babies? Can you imagine, subhanallah al-azim, what condition the people must have been in because of Fir'aun? فأخفته أمه وخافت عليه خوفا شديدا. So his mother hid him and she was extremely scared and fearful over him. فقذفته في التابوت ثم قذفته في اليم. So she cast him into the chest and she cast the chest into the river. أي شط نيلي نيل مصر. So on the bank of the Nile River. فأمر الله اليم أن يلقيه في الساحل. So Allah عز وجل commanded the river to cast them at the edge of the river. وقيض أن يأخذه أعدى الأعداء لله ولموسى. And Allah decreed that the biggest enemy to Allah and to Musa will be the one who will pick him up. ويتربى في أولاده. And he will be brought up among his children. ويكون قرة عين لمن رآه. And he will be the pleasure of the eye to whomever he sees, whomever sees him. ولهذا قال وألقيت عليك محبة مني فكل من رآه أحبه. Whosoever saw Musa loved him. Whosoever saw Musa loved him. This was a bounty from Allah. ولتصنع على عيني أي ولتتربى على نظري وفي حفظي وكلاءتي. So that you may be brought up and raised under my vision and under my protection and under my surveillance. وأي نظر وكفالة أجل وأكمل من ولاية البر الرحيم القادر على إيصال مصالح عبده ودفع البضار عنه. And what better vision and what do you call it? كفالة is تكفل الشيء is when you take charge of something and you're responsible for something. So it's kind of ownership. And responsibility is greater and finer than the one which is done from the most merciful, the most excellent, the most capable, the one who is able to deliver to his slaves what benefits them and is able to remove from their path what harms them. فَلَا يَنْتَقِلُ مِنْ حَالَةٍ إِلَى حَالَةٍ إِلَّا وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى هُوَ الَّذِي دَبَّرَ ذَلِكَ لِمَصْلَحَةِ مُوسَى. He does not shift from one phase to another, except that it is Allah who arranged that for the benefit of Musa. ومن حسن تدبيره أن موسى لما وقع في يد عدوه قلقت أمه قلقا شديدا. From the excellent arranging of the affair of Allah to Musa, as that when he fell into the hand of his enemy, his mother became extremely worried over him. وأصبح فؤادها فارغا, so much so that her heart became blank and void. It was vacuum. There was a vacuum in her heart. That's how devastated she was. وَكَادَتْ تُخْبِرُ بِهِ. She was about to say, like, this is my son. لَوْلَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ ثَبَّتَهَا وَرَبَطَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Had not Allah Azza wa Jal kept her firm and tied over her heart. فَبِيَذِي الْحَالَ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُوسَى الْمَرَاضِعَ. How did Allah protect Musa? Allah made all types of suckling forbidden upon him. فَلَا يَقْبَلُ ثَدْيَ مْرَأَةٍ قَدْ. He will not accept any breast ever. Any woman, any breast of any woman, he would refuse to suckle. So they would bring all these, he's a baby, and there's nothing else you could feed the baby except breast milk. And whenever they would bring someone so that she will suckle him, he would refuse to accept any of these women. لِيَكُونَ مَآلَهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. So that he will wind up returning to his mother. فترضعه, so she will suckle him. ويكون عندها مطمئنة ساكنة قريرة. And he will be with her. She will be in a state of tranquility and peacefulness and the pleasure of the eye. فجعلوا يعرضون عليه المراضع. So they would present the different suckling women. فلا يقبل ثديا. He will refuse all breasts. فجاءت أخت موسى, until Musa's sister came along. فقالت لهم, she said to them, هل أدلكم على أهل بيت يكفلونه لكم وهم له ناصحون. Shall I guide you to a family that will look after him and they will be sincere and keen on him. فرجعناك إلى أمك كي تقر عينها ولا تحزن. And so we return you to your mother so that you could, you know, she would her eye would be satisfied and she would not be grieved. وقتلت نفسا وهو القبطي لما دخل المدينة وقت غفلة من أهلها وجد رجلين يقتتلان. And you've killed the soul. Who is the person he killed? He killed the Coptic Christian. He killed the Coptic person. Actually, wasn't a Christian then, right? That's funny, because nowadays we have the al-Aqbat in Egypt, the Coptic Christians today, and that's what came to my mind. But then I realized this is the story of Musa before Jesus, before they were Christians to begin with. So here, Qopti here as a nationality and not as the denomination of Christianity that you have today in Egypt. So for those of you from Egypt or for modern day people, you know what I'm saying. When he entered upon the city, he entered the city at a time where it was, you know, ghafla, people just heedless and not paying attention. And he saw two men fighting. واحد من شيعة موسى والآخر من عدوه قبطي. One was from Musa's tribe Musa's people and the other one from his enemy, the Coptics. So these Coptics have been enemies to Muslims their entire, mashallah, their entire career. What a group. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِعَاتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوهِ. As you know from the other ayat, so that the one from his tribe, from his people, sought his assistance against his enemy. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَ عَلَيْهِ. Musa barely touched him according to the scholars. He was very strong, mashallah, tabarakallah. He barely wakaz, it was like almost like he almost like put a finger on him, and the man died. فَقَضَ عَلَيْهِ, he killed him. فَدَعَ اللَّهَ وَسَأَلَهُ الْمَغْفِرَةَ فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. He supplicated to Allah and he sought forgiveness from Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal accepted his repentance and forgave him. ثُمَّ فَرَّ هَارِبًا لَمَّا سَمِعَ أَنَّ الْمَلَأَ طَلَبُوهُ يُرِدُونَ قَتْلَهُ. Then he had to escape when he heard that the people were looking after him. They wanted retaliation, they wanted to kill him because he killed one of their people. فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ مِنْ عُقُوبَةِ الذَّنْبِ وَمِنْ الْقَتْلِ. So we saved you from the punishment of the sin and from the killing that had taken place, or the killing that they were going to afflict upon you. وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونًا أَيْ اخْتَبَرْنَاكَ وَبَلَوْنَاكَ فَوَجَدْنَاكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا فِي أَحْوَالِكَ. So we tested you and we examined you. So we found that you were straight, you were upright in all of your affairs. أو نقلناك في أحوالك وأطوارك حتى وصلت إلى ما وصلت له. The other meaning could be that we shifted you from one phase to another until you have arrived at what you have arrived at. فلبثت سنين في أهل مدين. So you remain a number of years in the people of Madian. حين فر هاربا من فرعون وملئه حين أرادوا قتله. When he ran away from Fir'aun and his people when they wanted to kill him, he went وتوجه إلى مدين. He went to Madian. وصل إليها ووصل إليه. He arrived there وتزوج هناك and he got married over there. وَمَكَثَ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ أَوْ ثَمَانِ سِنِينَ. He stayed there either 10 years or 8 years. ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَى قَدَرٍ يَا مُوسَى أَيْ جِئْتَ مَجِيئًا لَيْسَ اتِّفَاقًا مِنْ غَيْرِ قَصْدٍ وَلَا تَدْبِيرٍ مِنَّا. So you came back, not coincidentally, unintentionally, and without our decree. بَلْ بِقَدَرٍ وَلُطْفٍ مِنَّا. Rather with our decree and with kindness and gentleness from us. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ اعْتِنَاءِ اللَّهِ بِكَلِيمِهِ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. That shows you the perfect attention and care that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to his kaleem, meaning the one whom he spoke with directly, and that is Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ, that's what Allah says, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي أَيْ أَجْرَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ صَنَائِعِي وَنِعَمِي وَحُسْنَ عَوَائِدِي وَتَرْبِيَتِي. Meaning I allowed that all of my actions and all of my bounties and all of the good return and all of the specific, you know, caretaking. It's really the summarizing word for all this is caretaking. All of that was dedicated and was applicable to you. لِتَكُونَ لِنَفْسِي حَبِيبًا مُخْتَصًا. So that you would be beloved and specific to me. وَتَبْلُغَ فِي ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغًا لَا يَنَالُهُ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَّا النَّادِرَ مِنْهُمْ. And you will reach a position that no creation reached except a minority or except a rare number of them. وَإِذَا كَانَ الْحَبِيبُ إِذَا أَرَادَ اصْطِنَاعَ حَبِيبَهُ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَأَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَ مِنَ الْكَمَالِ الْمَطْلُوبِ لَهُ مَا يَبْلُغُ يَبْذُلُ غَايَةَ جُهْدِهِ وَيَسْعَى نِهَايَةَ مَا يُمْكِنُهُ فِي إِيصَالِ ذَلِكَ. If a person from among the creation, if a lover wanted to dedicate this kind of attention to another lover from among the creation, you will see that they will go to the extreme. They will do everything possible, everything required at the most perfect level. And they will exert themselves to the most and go to the extremes so that they can deliver that kind of attention to their loved one. فَمَا ظَنُّكَ بِصَنَائِعِ الرَّبِّ الْقَادِرِ الْكَرِيمِ. If this is the case among creation to creation, then what do you think about the one, the maker, the Lord, the capable, the most generous? وَمَا تَحْسَبُهُ يَفْعَلُ بِمَنْ أَرَادَ لِنَفْسِهِ. What would you think Allah will do for a person that he wanted to keep for himself? وَاصْطَفَاهُ مِنْ خَلْقِ, and he had chosen him from among his creation. So that shows you the level of attention and care that Allah Azza wa Jal had given to Musa, and that shows you the virtue of Musa alayhi salam among other prophets. تفضل يا مصعب.
اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقولا له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى. قالا ربنا إننا نخاف أن يفرط علينا أو أن يطغى. قال لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى.
Now, some of you are asking for the text to be enlarged, but this is as big as it gets with StreamYard, even though this is the paid version of StreamYard. But I apologize, that's the best. That's why I recommend and advise that you download the PDF. You download the PDF and you try to follow with me and you know, take down some notes. We gave you the link for the PDF, I believe, in the description of the video. So try to do that, inshallah. It will make things easy for me and for you. Allah bless you. So where were we now? Go you and your brother with my signs and do not slacken in my remembrance. Go both of you to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed. And speak to him with gentle speech that perhaps he may be reminded or fear Allah. They said, our Lord, indeed we are afraid that he will hasten punishment against us or that he will transgress. Allah said, fear not, for indeed I am with you both. I hear and I see. لما امتن الله على موسى بما امتن به من النعم الدينية والدنيوية. After Allah had bestowed upon Musa the many favors, the religious and the worldly ones, قال له, Allah said to him, اذهب أنت وأخوك, go you and your brother Harun بآياتي, أي بالآيات التي مني, meaning with those signs that are from me, الدالة على الحق وحسنه وقبح الباطل, the one that indicate truthfulness and the beauty of truthfulness and the ugliness of falsehood. كاليدي والعصا ونحوها, such as the hand and the staff and so on and so forth. في تسع آيات إلى فرعون وملئه. In 9 signs that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to Fir'aun and his people. And of course you guys know these 9 ayat from where? You know them from other surah in the Quran. الدم والضفدع والنمل and so on and so forth. القمل. All of these that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in another ayah, in another ayat, they total 9 signs that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to Musa and Harun in their support against Fir'aun and his people. قُمَّلْ نَأْ نَمِلْ وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي أَيْ لَا تَفْتَرَى وَلَا تَكْسَلَا عَنْ مُدَاوَمَةِ ذِكْرِي بِالْإِسْتِمْرَارِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَلْزَامِهِ كَمَا وَعَدْتُمَا بِذَلِكَ. And don't be negligent or don't be lazy regarding my remembrance just as you had promised. Meaning don't lose interest or energy in being consistent in my remembrance and continuing in this and adhering to it as you had previously promised when you said, كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. So we may glorify you abundantly and we may mention you and remember you abundantly. فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ مَعُونَةٌ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ يُسَهِلُهَا وَيُخَفِّفْ حَمْلُهَا. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, there is an assistance on all affairs. It facilitates it and it lightens its burden. That does not mean that you, Jama'at al-Tabligh, can go on your khuruj when you go to the houses and bring the people from the masajid, and then one person stays in the masjid remembering Allah, so that his remembrance will become like an energy and support for you and your khuruj. Tamam. These are all innovative behaviors that, you know, Jama'at Tabligh have incorporated into Islam, among many other issues that they have. May Allah reward them for their keenness on trying to bring people to the deen and people to pray. That's a beautiful thing. No doubt that's a beautiful thing. But whenever you want to do something, you have to do it according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of the Sahaba. You cannot come up with new rules and regulations and put down a structure like any other subject or any other science in the world. Quran and Sunnah are our guides. And the way the Prophet ﷺ implemented them, the way the Sahaba understood that from Prophet ﷺ and implemented them, is very critical in subject matter. That's why Ibn Mas'ud walked in on people. They were trying to remember Allah by taking turns and saying certain adhkar and using pebbles to throw them. He became very upset. He said, woe to you. The clothes of Prophet ﷺ have not even deteriorated yet. And either you are better guided than the Messenger of Allah or you are upon innovation and misguidance. And sure enough, not far after, they were among the Khawarij who wind up fighting the Sahaba. You cannot try to worship Allah in a way that Prophet ﷺ did not establish or the Sahaba did not follow in that regard. Now, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى، أي جاوز الحد في كفره وطغيانه وظلمه وعدوانه. Go to Pharaoh, he has transgressed, meaning he has crossed the line, he's crossed the limit in his disbelief, transgression, oppression, and enmity. In spite of that, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, say to him a gentle speech, أي سهلًا لطيفًا برفقٍ ولينٍ وأدبٍ في اللفظ من دون فحشٍ ولا صلف ولا غلظة في المقال أو فظاظة في الأفعال. الله أكبر. Say to him something gentle with kindness and manners in the choice of words, without exaggeration or abhorrence, and without being rough in your statement or in your actions. Now, time out. A clarification must be made. طيب. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Musa and Harun to do with Fir'aun. However, is this what Allah commanded all the prophets and all the messengers at all times? Absolutely not. Is this how the prophets and the messengers gave da'wah to their people all the time? Absolutely not. That's why from the wisdom of da'wah, is that you understand, subhanAllah, we were discussing this yesterday, and during the Q&A, we had an incident where people fell into the very thing that I was speaking about without even realizing it. That's why, لكل مقام مقال, for every situation, there's an appropriate thing to say and an appropriate way to deal with it. It is not all the same. The Prophet ﷺ is the same one who came and he saw Sahabi wearing a gold ring. He went to him and he yanked it out of his hand and he threw it on the floor. People don't know this. The Prophet ﷺ, the most gentle, the kindest, the sweetest man, he yanked it out of his hand, finger, threw it on the floor. He said, will one of you aim to have a ring of the hellfire around his finger? Prophet ﷺ reprimanded him so what you can consider to be harshly, to the point that the people said to him, pick up your ring afterwards, you know, go sell it. You cannot wear it, but you can sell it. He said, I will never pick up something Prophet ﷺ threw on the floor. So you have to understand there were occasions. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went and destroyed the gods of the Aliha. He went and destroyed the gods, and then he was basically trolling them. He said, go, is'alu kabiruhum, ask the biggest one. The biggest one is the one who broke the smaller ones. And they all believed him. They're like, oh yeah, he's right. Then they went and had a conversation. They came back and said, hey, wait a second. How did you know that they don't speak and they don't communicate? He actually trolled them in this regard. So, you know, we have occasions. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar al-Khattab used to walk around with a cane. When people went out of line, he would discipline them and put them back in their place. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq fought against the people that did not want to pay the zakah. And the list goes on. I could give you hundreds of examples from the Salaf about how to approach certain things. So anytime my methodology, which you don't have to accept, but anytime someone comes to me with this, I'm having waswas, I go vicious on them. And wallahi, in my experience, 99% of the time, it was effective. 99% of the time. I've never taken it easy with someone who brings to me this, brother, the shaitan, I'm not sure if I made wudu. I repeat my wudu 5 times. Or when I pray, I'm not sure if I said Fatiha correctly. I repeat the Fatiha. Or someone who tells me I doubt whether Allah exists. I never go soft. I go and bam, bam, bam. And for the most part, almost every time they said, brother, Jazakallah khair, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Because they've already sought advice where people try to massage them and it wasn't effective. So I have my experience and I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to apply what I've seen to be effective. And that's what da'wah is. There are times when you have to be very harsh and very stern and very straightforward. And there are times you have to be gentle and kind and soft. It is not always the same, because the Prophet ﷺ did not apply these rules across with everybody. And neither did the previous prophets, and neither did the Sahaba. Ibn Umar, when he saw a man he had the little pebble and he would flicker it. He would flicker it, you know, to and it would hurt animals. It would hurt, like it would poke the eyes of birds and insects and not insects and little animals. So he told them, the Messenger of Allah said that you shouldn't do this. And the man said, yeah, but he said, I tell you, the Messenger of Allah says, and you tell me, but don't ever speak to me again. And Ibn Umar never spoke to him again. He never spoke to him again. Because this man was injecting and interjecting into something Prophet ﷺ said. And again, I could give you many evidences. So please, please, before you start tripping and wondering why I'm acting the way I'm acting, understand where I'm coming from. This is my experience. It doesn't mean you have to agree, but you have to understand that it's valid. It's valid based on this. Now, I act a certain way. That's my persona. That's my character. If you don't like my approach, go listen to someone that will keep calm and collected for 2 hours. He will speak to you like this. Go, ya akhi, enjoy him. I'm not forcing you to listen or watch. Wallah. Therefore, if you're here willingly, have some manners. If you disagree with me, catch me on the side. Say, brother, barakallah feek. I don't think this was appropriate. I think there's a better way. If you're right, I will tell you, zakallah khair. I will work on myself. If you're wrong, I will tell you, brother, barakallah feek. Thank you for the advice, but you're wrong. But to act silly publicly, then you're gonna get hammered, which is what happened to you. You got blocked. I hope you're enjoying the block right now. Unless you create another account, you're back here because you can't help it. That deserves a coffee. Hey. لعله بسبب القول اللين, perhaps because of the soft speech, يتذكر, he will remember ما ينفعه فيأتي. He will remember what would benefit him, so he will come to it. أو يخشى ما يضره فيتركه, or at least he will fear what will harm him, so he leaves it alone. فإن القول اللين داع لذلك. So the soft speech will invite you to that. والقول الغليظ منفر عن صاحبه. And the rough speech will repel the people from it. وقد فسر القول اللين في قولي فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى. The scholars have explained, what is that soft speech, that gentle speech that Musa was told to say to Fir'aun? It's in the other ayah. So say to him, هل لك إلى أن تزكى? Do you have any interest in purifying yourself? وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى. And I will invite you to your Lord so you will fear him. فإن في هذا الكلام من لطف القول وسهولته وعدم بشاعته ما لا يخفى على متأمل. In this speech, you see the gentleness of the speech and the ease in it, and the avoiding of ugliness, what cannot be hidden from anyone who reflects. فإنه أتى بهل الدالة على العرض والمشاورة. So he brought about the term hell. Hell is like it's when you make an offer to someone. Would you like some coffee? Would you like some coffee? See how gentle it is. Versus say, do you want coffee? Do you want coffee or coffee? What's the gentlest one is, would you like some coffee? That is the kindest way to bring it about. No one is going to be repelled by this kind of gentle offer. Furthermore, he invited him to purify himself and cleanse himself from these filth, which is the foundation of purifying yourself from associating partners with Allah. الذي يقبله يقبله كل عقل سليم, the one that every sound intellect will accept. ولم يقل أزكيك, he didn't say I will purify you, بل قال تزكى أنت بنفسك, he said you will purify yourself. ثم دعاه إلى سبيل ربه الذي رباه وأنعم عليه بالنعم الظاهرة والباطنة. Then he invited him to the way of his Lord, who had raised him and bestowed his favors upon him externally and internally. التي ينبغي مقابلتها مقابلتها بشكرها وذكرها, the one that you should respond to by being thankfulness and by mentioning it. فقال وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى, and I will guide you to your Lord so you will fear him. فلما لم يقبل هذا الكلام اللين الذي يأخذ حسنه بالقلوب, pay attention, when he did not accept this soft speech which will captivate your heart with its excellence, علم أنه لا ينجع فيه تذكير, it became known that no reminder will benefit Pharaoh. فأخذه الله أخذ عزيز مقتدر. So Allah seized them, the seizure of the mighty, the capable. قال ربنا إننا نخاف أن يفرط علينا. They said, oh indeed our Lord, we are afraid that he will hasten the punishment against us. أن يبادرنا بالعقوبة والإيقاع بنا قبل أن نبلغه رسالاتك. We are afraid that he will actually punish us and kill us before we even deliver the message. ونقيم عليه الحجة, before we can even establish any evidence against him. أو أن يطغى, or we afraid that he will transgress, أن يتمرد عن الحق, or that he will reject the truth. ويطغى بملكه وسلطانه وجنده وعوانه. He will become arrogant and he will use his soldiers and his assistants and his authority as a fight to fight against and to transgress against the truth. قال لا تخافا أن يفرط عليكما. Don't be afraid that he will transgress against you. إنني معكما أسمع وأرى, أي أنتما بحفظي ورعايتي. You are under my protection and my care. أسمع قولكما, I hear your speech. وأرى جميع أحوالكما, and I see all of your affairs. فلا تخافا منه, don't be afraid of him. فزال الخوف عنهما, so fear left them. واطمأنت قلوبهما بوعد ربهما, and their hearts were at ease with the promise of their Lord. And of course, how can you not be at ease with the promise of your Lord? Subhanallah al-Azim. And look how gentle Allah Azza wa Jal is. قال لا تخافا, don't be afraid. إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. Allah hears everything. Allah sees everything. And as the scholars say, in this context, we affirm Allah's hearing. We affirm Allah's vision. And what is intended by this also is support and aid. Allah shall support them and aid them, both of them. تفضل يا مصعب, آية 47.
فأتياه فقولا إنا رسولا ربك فأرسل معنا بني إسرائيل ولا تعذبهم قد جئناك بآية من ربك والسلام على من اتبع الهدى إنا قد أوحي إلينا أن العذاب على من كذب وتولى.
تمام. نعم. So go to him and say, indeed, we are messengers of your Lord. So send with us the children of Israel and do not torment them. We have come to you with a sign from your Lord, and peace will be upon he who follows the guidance. That reminds me of something. We'll come to there, inshallah. Indeed, it has been revealed to us that the punishment will be upon whoever denies and turns away. The Sheikh said, أي فأتياه بهذين الأمرين, دعوته إلى الإسلام وتخليص هذا الشعب الشريف بني إسرائيل من قيده وتعبيده لهم. So come to him with these two matters. First of all, inviting him to Islam. Excuse me. Second of all, saving the children of Israel, that noble people, Bani Israel, from his chain and from his enslavement, from enslaving them. لِيَتَحَرَّرُوا وَيَمْلِكُوا أَمْرَهُمْ, so they may be freed and they may own their own affairs. وَيُقِيمُ فِيهِمْ مُوسَى شَرْعَ اللَّهِ وَدِينِهِ, and Musa will be able to establish with them the legislation of Allah and his religion. قَدْ جِئْنَاكَ بِآيَةٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَى صِدْقِنَا, we have brought forth a sign, an ayah, a sign that will show you and indicate our truthfulness. فألقى موسى عصاه فإذا هي ثعبان مبين. So موسى threw his staff and it became a clear snake. ونزع يده فإذا هي بيضاء للناظرين. And then he removed his hand from under his arm, as the scholars say, from this side, basically, it became extremely illuminating white to the viewers. إلى آخر ما ذكر الله عنهما, until the end of the other ayat that Allah mentioned in other parts of the Quran. والسلام على من اتبع الهدى, and peace be upon he who follows guidance, أي من اتبع الصراط المستقيم واهتدى بالشرع المبين, the one who follows the straight path and is guided to the clear legislation. حصلت له السلامة في الدنيا والآخرة, then he will attain the peacefulness and the peace in his dunya and the akhirah. And we know from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that this particular type of salam is the one that you use with the non-Muslims, because whatever he would send a letter to the leaders at his time, the leaders of Rome, or other the Byzantine the Romans back at that time, the Persian king, the Abyssinian, all of those people whom he sent letters to, Caesar back then, the Prophet ﷺ would have in the letter, "Wassalamu ala man ittaba al-huda," and peace be upon those who follow guidance. The scholars understood because you don't initiate, you're not allowed to give the salam to the disbelievers. And so this is the one that says basically, peace be upon the one who follow guidance. Meaning if you follow the Islam, then you will receive peace. If not, then there's no peace for you. And I remember some people were, obviously because we're Wahhabis, and so, or we're mujassima, those who supposedly give Allah Azza wa Jal a claim that he has a body, as per the way they put it, and we're therefore kuffar. I've had people debate with me, and when they speak to me, they say, "Salamu ala man taba al-huda." Yani the guy was so immersed in takfir that he actually, he's addressing me as a kafir. And so be careful. Some people may be not aware that this is not what you give. This is not the salam of the believers. The salam of the believers is assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. But assalamu alaikum minimum. But there's no assalamu ala man ittaba al-huda to a fellow Muslim, because you're suggesting that he is yet to follow guidance. Otherwise, until then he will get no salam. But he deserves the salam. Inna qad uhiya ilayna ay khubbirna min indi Allahi la min indi anfusina. We have been told by Allah, not from ourselves, anna al-'adhaba 'ala man kadhaba wa tawalla, that the punishment will be upon the one who denies and turns away. Ay kadhaba bi akhbari Allahi wa akhbari rusuli, the one who has belied the information from Allah and the information from his respective messengers. وَتَوَلَّى عَنِ الْإِنْقِيَادِ لَهُمْ وَاتِّبَعِهِمْ, and he turned away from adhering to them and following them. وَهَذَا فِيهِ مِنَ التَّرْغِيبِ لِفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّصْدِيقِ وَاتِّبَاعِهِمَا وَالتَّهْرِيبِ مِنْ ضُدِّ ذَلِكَ. And in that there's an invitation and like an enticement to Fir'aun to believe and to accept and to follow them, and also a warning from doing the opposite of that. ولكن لم يفد فيه هذا الوعظ والتذكير. However, this admonishment and reminder did not benefit him in anything. فأنكر ربه, so he denied his Lord, وكفر, and he disbelieved. وجادل في ذلك ظلما وعنادا, and then he started arguing in this regard out of oppression and stubbornness. And how many Muslims do we have, or maybe even children do we have, that follow the way of Pharaoh? How many Muslims do we have, or even family members, relatives, children who follow the way of Pharaoh? When the truth is presented to them, there's two things you could do. Either submit and admit, or let me say, either admit and submit, admit that this is the truth, and submit and then rectify. So admit, submit, and then rectify. Or you could do what Musa did. Roller coaster, up, oh, go down, up, go up, go down, yes, sir. Throw red herring in. Let me get the, what did you say? I don't understand. Then the whole thing gets lost. It's like, what happened? Then everybody's looking around like, hey, what happened? We don't even know what's going on anymore. That's because that's the Pharaohic methodology. And you will see, subhanAllah, look in the upcoming ayat and read the other ayat which tells you the story of Moses. You'll be amazed at how Fir'aun would avoid what is clear-cut evident. Yani only a blind person will say, I cannot see. And actually, even a blind person can see, because it's something that you can rationalize. You don't have to visually see it. And you will find how Pharaoh was going to find some loophole so he could weasel his way around and go into the hole and out of the hole onto the roller coaster all the way up to the peak and then go all the way down. Then, you know, play a maze of chasing each other, going up the ladder, down the ladder. Yani gymnastics, linguistic gymnastics. Oh, you said this word wrong. Oh, this word doesn't make sense. Oh, it's called, madri ish. It's not called that. Yeah, who cares what it's called right now? We're not tripping over the terminology. You get the message. But you can always pretend that you don't. Oh, مصعب حياك الله يا شيخ، تفضل يا بابا ريد.
قال فمن ربكما يا موسى؟ قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. قال فما بال القرون الأولى؟ قال علمها عند ربي في كتاب، لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. الذي جعل لكم الأرض مهدا وسلك لكم فيها سبلا وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به أزواجا من نبات شتى. كلوا وارعوا أنعامكم، إن في ذلك لآيات لأولي النهى. منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى.
ومنها نخرجكم. Correct it please. ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى.
ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى.
That's your mistake and my mistake earlier is that I said Musa instead of Fir'aun. Obviously this is a slip of a tongue. It's part of giving a live speech. So of course, you understand by the context what I meant. So I apologize. Nevertheless, I apologize for that mistake. It's a slip of a tongue and Allah knows what's in my heart. طيب, I need to read the English. So Pharaoh said, so who is the Lord of you two, O Moses? He said, our Lord is he who gave each thing its form and then guided it. Pharaoh said, then what is the case of the former generations? The first red herring. Moses said, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord in a record. My Lord neither errs nor forgets. It is he who has made for you the earth as a bed and inserted therein for you roadways and sent down from the sky rain and produced thereby categories of various plants. Eat therefrom and pasture your livestock. Indeed, in that are signs of for those of intelligence. From the earth we created you, and into it we will return you, and from it we will extract you another time. And we certainly showed Pharaoh our signs, a lot of them, but he denied and refused. He said, have you come? Did I read further? So we stop over here. أي قال فرعون لموسى على وجه الإنكار فمن ربكما يا موسى. So now Pharaoh said to Moses in a context of denial, who's your Lord? Who is the Lord of the two of you? فأجاب موسى بجواب شاف كاف واضح. موسى responded with an answer that is complete, sufficient, and clear. فقال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. أي ربنا الذي خلق جميع المخلوقات. Our Lord is the one who created all of the creation. وأعطى كل مخلوق خلقه اللائق. And I give every one of the creation the in terms of creating them what is suitable for them. الدال على حسن صنعة من خلقه. That shows you the excellence of the forming of the one who created it. من كبر الجسم وصغره وتوسطه وجميع صفاته. Such as the large body or the a small body or the medium one, along with all the attributes. ثم هدى كل مخلوق إلى ما خلقه له. Then Allah guided each creature to that which He created it for. وهذه الهداية الكاملة المشاهدة في جميع المخلوقات. This type of guidance you see in all of the creation. And any one of you brothers and sisters who's ever watched the Animal Planet or some of these documentaries on National Geographic, even though National Geographic as an institute, it's something that you need to be worried about because they do have an agenda. But nevertheless, that's not the point of discussion. I always get amazed when I see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they function, how they operate, the season of when they, the mating season for them, how the actual, subhanAllah, like the circumstances that are created for them to be able to mate and to be able to look after their infants, regardless of whether they form in the amphibians or other types. It's amazing. It's amazing how these animals within the sea, on land, how they operate, how they function, and how everything has what it needs to be able to survive and live and eat, unless Allah Azza wa Jal had allowed for another predator to make this the prey for that other predator, which is part of the actual cycle of life. So it's ajeeb. فكل مخلوق نعم فكل مخلوق تجده يسعى لما خلق له من المنافع وفي دفع المضار. And you find every creation striving in that which it was created for to attain the benefit and to push away any harm against it. حتى إن الله أعطى الحيوان البهيم من العقل ما يتمكن به على ذلك. Even the animal, Allah gave it enough intellect so that it could figure that out. وهذا كقوله تعالى. This is similar to another ayah in the book of Allah. الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه. The one who has perfected and excelled in everything he created. فالذي خلق المخلوقات. So the one who created the creation. وأعطاها خلقها الحسن. And he gave it its beautiful creation. الذي لا تقترح العقول فوقه فوق حسنه. The one that no intellect can suggest something better. وهداها لمصالحه. And he further guided it to its benefits. To that which will bring about its benefit. هو الرب على الحقيقة. It is the true Lord indeed. فإنكاره إنكار لأعظم الأشياء وجودا. So denying him is denying the greatest thing that exists. وهو مكابرة ومجاهرة بالكذب. And it's a type of arrogance and going against the truth with lies. فلو قدر أن الإنسان أنكر من الأمور المعلومة ما أنكر كان إنكاره لرب العالمين أكبر من ذلك. So let's say that a person wound up denying anything which is known by necessity that shouldn't be denied, then certainly his denial of the Lord of the world is even greater than that. We will have to postpone the discussion on this until tomorrow, inshallah, and see what Fir'aun responded to Musa with another red herring, another distraction, another, avoiding of the discussion in order to confuse the people and confuse his miskin followers. But we will deal with that tomorrow, inshallah. We will leave the floor for some questions and answers because my car is at the mechanic shop and I need to skateboard over there to get it. So I am on a time budget because the mechanic shop will close soon. And page 1029, please mark that for me. Abu Mus'ab, how can I stop overeating? I have been gaining weight this Ramadan. What should I do to get fit? Also, can you please make lessons in English because we understand English better? Wait. Okay, how can you stop overeating? Akhi, come on. The Prophet ﷺ told you already the worst container you would ever fill is your stomach. So listen to the Prophet ﷺ. That's it. If you follow the sunnah, if you love the sunnah enough, you will be able to stop overeating. That's my advice to you. I could tell you many things from a health perspective, but the sunnah should be more effective. I could tell you many things from a health perspective, but the sunnah should be more effective. Follow the way of Prophet ﷺ and stop overeating. Because being in shape is a requirement of a Muslim. Being fat is abhorrent. Being fat willingly is abhorrent. You're fat, you need something? Okay, one question per person. Thank you. Being fat because you have a genetic problem is no problem. Being fat because you overeat, wallahi, is unacceptable. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you will be asked on that day regarding the blessings and the bounties. The scholars say even the cold water that you drink, Allah will ask you about. Then how many times will you be asked and how will you answer about all the food that you've been chowing down? Overeating, extravagance in eating. Extravagance in eating, overeating, not taking care of the trust Allah gave you. Allah entrusted you with this body. You're not giving it its due right. Then when you become sick and you have cholesterol or you have obesity or you have blood pressure or whatever else problems, your family has to look after you and pay all the money that they've been saving so that you don't die immediately because of your health condition. That's not fair for the people also. So you're being unfair to yourself. You're unfair to your religion and you're unfair to the people that love you. And if the ummah ever needs you, you're the last person they will refer to. You will be among those who would need help instead of being among those who can offer help. Come on, bro. Come on. Can you make lessons in English because you understand English better? What do you mean? That's what I'm doing right now, Habibi. This lessons in English. You don't want me to read the Arabic at all? There are a group of people that are trying to improve the Arabic. I don't get what you're saying. Next. Should a layman Muslim give da'wah to non-Muslims? Yes. Yes. But don't speak about matters that you don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Convey of me even if it's one ayah. Do you know قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ? Say, yes, I know قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. You have to convey that. That's it. Don't, if you know ABC, then you give da'wah to ABC. If you know ABCDEFG, you give da'wah to ABCDEFG. If you know ABC and then you're giving da'wah to Z, then you have a problem because now you're not qualified to speak. Abu Musab, you're skinny. You should gain weight for your health. Skinny? That's skinny? What do you want me to do? Do I take off yani my shirt to show you? Subhanallah. I'm not skinny. I'm not fat, but I'm not skinny. I'm happy with the way I look. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm happy with the way I look. Yani, there's so much that I can show you. So presuming that I am skinny, that's subjective. That is subjective to you. Those who know me and who know what I do at the gym, they know that I'm not skinny in the way that you consider. I'm happy, alhamdulillah. I'm 42 years old by Allah's grace and mercy, and I'm taking care of my body. You should say Zakallah khair, brother, as opposed to telling me that I'm skinny and I should eat more. Are you kidding me? What should I go back? Go back. Should I watch Qanat Aqeedah class from the first episode together or only from first episode? Should I watch current Aqeedah class and from the first episode together or only from first episode? What is that supposed to mean? You should start from the beginning and start from the beginning and then catch up. Don't join the current class until you've completed the previous classes. I hope that's what you meant. Next. Can you explain kana when it mentions Allah is? I understand it, but I need to explain it to someone. Can you explain kana when it mentions Allah? Wa kana Allah. Okay, so yes, because the term kana, when it's used as a tense, tenses because they're part of time, and time is the creation of Allah, and time does not apply against Allah. So for Allah, there's no such thing as kana yakunu, because all of this is from the creation of Allah. So Allah is forever, has eternal qualities. That Allah has eternal qualities. But that's the language that is used because that's the language relevant to the human beings. Wallahu a'lam. What is the ruling on the finger in tashahud? You should move the finger pointed towards the qibla, and every time you make dua, you move it rapidly. Whenever you're not making dua, you keep it straight. So you say at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. That's a dua. Assalamu ala al-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamid Majid, until the end. Next. Barakallahu feek for a beginner in Arabic tafsir. What is the best between these three? Tafsir Muyassar, Mukhtasar Tafsir, Tafsir Al-Sa'di. Wallahi, I don't know the other two for me to speak. VMN means Ayman. How is that? I don't know which one. I know about Tafsir Al-Sa'di. I think I have Tafsir Al-Muyassar, but I cannot, if I haven't studied them and read them enough for me to make that comparison, I should keep quiet. I can vouch for Tafsir Al-Sa'di, which is pretty simple, as you can see. I don't think it's advanced at all. Wallahu a'lam. Next. Sheikh Pepe? La ya Sheikh. When one is bald like yourself, do you recommend adding oil to make your head shiny? I'm not bald, Habibi. I shave bald. Alhamdulillah. You could tell my hair is growing right now, and you could see, mashallah, tabarakallah, a full line of hair, which I hope and pray Allah Azza wa Jal will make me bald. I genuinely wish Allah would make me like bald, like the rest of the bald people, so that I don't have any hair here. The only thing left is to shave the sides. It will make my life much easier. But until then, I have a full hair. Do I recommend to put oil to make your head shiny? No, I don't think. I think the natural oil that comes from your head when you shave will make it shiny enough. Okay, I don't think you need to go to the extent of putting. If you want, I mean, it's all up to you, Habibi. It's all up to you. It's your head. You want it to shine. You want it to reflect. You want the people to slide off of it. When there's nothing else to do in the park, that's your business. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your bald head. Can a man get married without his family around, especially if he's living in a different country and it's not possible for his family to travel due to the pandemic? Durr. Why do you need your family to be around to get married anyways? A man can get married, on Jupiter with his wife. Once they have the wali and the witnesses and they fulfill the conditions of marriage, then khalas, there's no need for the family to be around. Of course, you want to have a little wedding and all these harakat. That's all extra. That's not a prerequisite or a condition for the validity of the marriage. Next. Is drinking water while sitting on a chair same as the sunnah of drinking water while sitting down? What? Is drinking water while sitting on a chair same as sunnah of drinking water sitting down? Yes, it is, because that's technically sitting. My British is great, I know. If I'm helping in the date section in a restaurant that give iftar, will I get full reward of feeding a person? Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Do you have to tell people in the masjid when they are calling to khuruj that it's a bid'ah? If you're qualified, by all means. If you have if you have knowledge and you're able to back it up, Ya Marwan Junior, if you're able to back it up and go back and forth and explain to them, of course you have to tell them. If you don't have knowledge and if you're afraid that they're going to retaliate and answer you, and then you're going to be stuck like, oh, I don't know how to answer and I don't know how to deal with it, then mind your business, because either you're qualified to address and tackle the subject matter or you're not. If you have knowledge, it's obligatory on you to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Next. Somebody prayed Fajr by doing only one rak'ah and noticed it after Taslim. Is it correct to do sujood sahu then stand up to pray the second rak'ah starting with Takbir al-Ihram? No. What he should have done is, if you realize after you've done the Taslim but you've missed rak'ah, you go back to the salah and you complete that rak'ah you missed, and then you do sujood sahu at the end of the salah. Whether before the Taslim or after the Taslim is something that the scholars are flexible about. Now, next. Assalamu alaikum. Zayk ya basha. Ahlan hadratak. Ahlan ya mhandis. Ahlan. I'm a mass communication major, i.e. journalism. Wow, I didn't know that journalism was mass communication major. The news industry is full of music and of suitable sarul haram things. I was going to say suitable haram things. Allah yahdik. In my final term, what can I do for my graduation project? You can retire from this field and go into another one, bro. I don't know. What are you going to do? That's a tough one, Habibi. Or you could write an article about the impermissibility of music and subtle haram things. Next. Had discussion with a dear brother who kept saying that there's no difference between Ash'aris and Atharis, and that they use the different words for the same idea. He said Allah isn't encompassed by space. Yeah, Allah isn't encompassed by space. He's right. But he is definitely tripping by telling you that there's no difference between us and that we simply use different words for the same idea. Rather, we use different words for different ideas. And if you go through my Aqidah class every week, and it's available on our playlist in our channel, you will see that there's no such thing as Ash'aris and Atharis are the same. They are on opposite sides of the spectrum. They're on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Completely. Nothing between them. Same. Sawa. As the Muslims who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, what is our stand with the coronavirus? You mean our stance? Because many people who are careless with protocols, etc., didn't believe with it in the very first place. Well, what we believe is that the coronavirus is real. My mother, may Allah Azza wa Jal protect her and bless her and give her a long life in goodness and excellence and worship, almost died because of corona. My own mother. Half of my family already got corona, and they all suffered tremendously. Many people we know passed away, and many people in our office got sick and got corona. So if somebody's still tripping about corona, man, the level of immersion in the conspiracy theory is unprecedented. Those people need to be run over by a big truck, hoping that they don't die, and it's a plastic truck actually, so that they can wake up and realize that corona is real and you need to stop being silly about it. Now, salam sheikh. I am not a sheikh. Walaikum salam, your brother. Adumi, isn't that soup? Well, that's indumi. Where do the Shia and Sufis go wrong in their methodology? Are there words of any value? Habibi, I have a lecture on Shia titled Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, which you should watch. And I have a lecture titled Sufism, which tells you where the Sufis went wrong. So watch these two lectures, which will take 3 hours of your time, and then you will know very well, inshallah, why they have gone wrong in their methodology. Next. Yalla, I need to go get my car, ya akhwan, ish hada. Could you recommend any Turkish speakers who are teaching or recording to the sunnah? Wallah, I know zero Turkish speakers. Nothing. Nobody. Iman's homeschool is in the house. Holla. My young daughter wants to ask a question today, inshallah. Can you eat, drink between the sunnah of Fajr and Salatul Fajr? Jazakallah khair for benefiting us. Wa jazakum. Lahza. Can you eat, drink between the sunnah of Fajr and the Salatul Fajr? Well, of course you can. Wait. The sunnah of Fajr, are you talking? Okay. There are two situations here. Either you're talking about in Ramadan, and you can only pray the sunnah of Fajr in Ramadan after Fajr came in. So if Fajr already came in, therefore you can pray the sunnah of Fajr, you cannot be eating anymore at all. So absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you're not fasting, if it's just a regular day, one of those lovely days, and you like to eat before Sunnat al-Fajr, after Sunnat al-Fajr, after Fajr, after Shuruq, after Dhuhr, after Asr, after, hey, you can eat anytime you want. Of course you can eat. There's nothing that prevents you from eating between a voluntary prayer and an obligatory prayer, provided that it is not Ramadan and you're not fasting. If you're fasting, then Fajr Sunnah is after Fajr came in, which means you've already stopped eating and drinking completely. Capisce? Bueno, comprendre le specie? I hope so. Specie is my own invention, by the way, 100%. I don't think any Latin person has ever said it. And that was the last question for the day. Thank you all for joining us. We will catch you bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla tomorrow. Until then, I leave you in Allah's protection. And Allah scares. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.